Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Jim King, who is Head of Learning and Skills at the Scottish Prison Service. Welcome to Edutalk, Jim.
Thanks, David. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak and engage with your listeners across the radio. Thank you.
Now, this is a pre-recorded show, but if you've got any comments or questions for Jim, then feel free to send them in and be sure to pass them on. You can get in touch in the usual two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag Edutalk. So, Jim, it would be maybe beneficial for listeners if you could just give us a kind of brief background to your career, and particularly in terms of the learning sectors.
Yes, well, actually, my background is in community-based adult learning. I worked in Glasgow and Postle Park and also in Stirling prior to undertaking a then Scottish Executive initiative in 2002, which was the launch of the Adult Literacy and Numeracy in Scotland, a report which recommended there would be four pathfinders in areas of Scottish life where it was deemed that there were perhaps difficulties with adult literacy and numeracy. So one of those pathfinders was Scottish prisons, and I undertook a three-year investigation into the extent of literacy and numeracy issues within the Scottish Prison Service. That project was extended for a further 2 years, and well, I'm still here, you know, so obviously, you know, there's been some twists and turns along the way. However, when the previous education advisor retired in 2011, I was asked to take over a slightly different remit, but effectively overseeing all the education in Scotland's 13 public sector prisons.
And again, maybe for those listeners who maybe come from the rest of the UK or further afield, what is the Scottish Prison Service, and you know, who do they work with? You know, in terms of, I would imagine it's across a number of different sites and different types of sites. And then, can you go on to speak a bit about the roles and responsibilities of the Scottish Prison Service in relation to the learning of those who are in custody?
Yes, well, for those out with Scotland, the Scottish Prison Service is obviously very much like the prison service in other parts of the UK, although they are obviously independent and have their own distinctive policies and approaches in terms of how they deal with prisoners and with rehabilitation and certainly in terms of education policy as well. There are 13 public sector prisons in Scotland, you know, most of which are located around the central belt, but there's obviously smaller prisons, Inverness, Greenock, Dumfries, and there's also, you know, a large new, relatively new facility in Grampian at Peterhead. You know, there's about, on any given day, between 7,500 and 8,000 prisoners in Scottish prisons. There's also distinctive national prisons that hold long-term prisoners, women offenders, young offenders, and protection prisoners. So, you know, it's a very disparate model. There's also, you know, the short-term prisoners pose different problems from the long-term prisoners, certainly in terms of their initial needs and also in terms of their educational needs, and you know, in terms of the general approach, short-term prisoners tend to be in and out of prison fairly frequently. There's obviously huge problems in terms of addiction, mental health, general health, family relationships, a whole host of issues that require to be addressed. But very often, once these issues are addressed, you know, the individuals are back out, very often returning to the same location, the same peer groups, and often get involved in the same type of activity got them to prison in the first place. So it's a difficult perennial problem. Scottish Government has actually been fairly proactive in addressing some of these problems of short-term prisoners, you know, with the presumptions against, you know, some of the shorter-term sentences in term, especially in relation to particular types of prisoners, for example, women and young people, and they have actually seen a marked reduction in the number of young people and women who have been sent to custody, and that can only be a good thing, you know, because very often there's far more effective treatments in the community to address the addictions and mental health problems of those who are frequently in and out of prison. And that enables Scottish Prison Service to concentrate their rehabilitative efforts on the longer-term prisoners who are in their care. So, you know, there have been a whole range of initiatives in the past couple of years, you know, from the wider Scottish Government policy in terms of the kind of GIRFIC agenda and the whole systems approach. And I think these policy initiatives are beginning to bear fruit because, you know, specifically the cause we are seeing, you know, less young people coming into custody. And for those who do come in tend to be still exhibit the same types of problems. However, it gives us more of an opportunity, you know, to work with smaller numbers so we can, you know, provide more intensive support for those who eventually stay within our care for any length of time.
And can you give us a flavour of the kind of learning opportunities that are available across the estate? I mean, you mentioned there about your background looking at literacy and numeracy, so is that still very much a feature, you know, what might be termed as kind of basic skills? And then, you know, are there kind of traditional sort of SQA qualification opportunities? And, you know, we do hear a lot about projects in the community, and maybe some will have seen within the media, within SPS services, that there've been maybe projects around the arts. So I don't know if you want to look at different locations or different types of learning, but it'd be great to kind of get a flavour.
Yeah, well, obviously it's a very complex picture, David, as you can imagine, because, you know, prisons like communities are very complex. You know, prisons host members of the community. You know, that in many ways they replicate the community in terms of the kind of demographics of especially local prisons who have mixed populations. They may have short-term prisoners, long-term prisoners. They may have women, they may also have younger people. So very often they are reflective of the community in general. And there is a bit of a stereotypical view of a prisoner, you know, being lacking functional literacy skills. There is no doubt that there is a higher percentage of literacy issues within the prison population when you compare it to the general population. However, having said that, the prison population is probably not as bad as often as you know, it's probably not as bad as it's often portrayed to be. When individuals arrive in custody, we undertake a very basic screening, you know, just to enable us to look at the extent of the problem, you know, nationally, so that we can generate data and we can look at comparisons and we can look to see what the general trends are over time in terms of literacy issues. When you look at the screening that applies under the Scotland Performs, we are obliged to record all those who are at or below level 4 on the SCQF framework. Now, as you will know, SCQF, for those of a certain vintage, is an old standard grade, and it's a fairly high bar. So if you set the bar fairly high, you're going to get high numbers. And when we look at those numbers, you know, we see that probably over the last couple of years, the number of prisoners who are at or below level 4, you know, is around 70%. However, when you look at that in terms of level 3, which is perhaps more of a priority group, you know, it's kind of late primary, early secondary level, then that number drops to about 40%. So, you know, the vast majority of the prison population, you know, can read and write. Significant proportion could improve on their skills from level three, but very often we also have a significant number who are, you know, have very high level of skills, you know, sometimes with professional people, professional backgrounds. So we cater for every type of, you know, learner effectively. Very often those who have low level skills, those who are at the who really struggle in terms of illiteracy and numeracy is probably in the region of 12 to 15%. And very often these are the individuals who have had poor experiences in the past, you know, they've had poor educational experiences at school, at primary school, very often didn't attend secondary school. Invariably, there have been issues in the household with parents, with addictions, with bereavements, with a whole host of issues, perhaps some learning difficulties or disabilities as well. So, you know, each individual is different, and what we try and what we've been trying to do in Scottish prisons in the last 4 or 5 years is to have a more holistic and person-centred kind of asset-based approach. Because in the past, like many other of our European and American colleagues, very much the focus has been on what they term to be a kind of correctional agenda, which is very much a kind of remedial approach. It looks very much at the kind of medical model. You're looking at the nature of offending or the nature of low level of education ability as effectively an issue that requires to be redressed in a very kind of remedial way. So in many respects, it's a very kind of black and white approach. It's very firmly aligned to a kind of, you know, to a medical and economic model whereby, you know, people's individual skills are looked at very clinically, and, you know, the very simple resolutions put forward in terms of, you know, what has to happen. You have to teach people to read and write effectively. You have to give them the skills to ensure that they will gain employment, and that will, you know, that will effectively resolve their offending issues. Now, as probably you and I know, that the situation is far more complex than that. And we also know that when you just present a very fixed or remedial model of education in front of an adult, you know, it's not exactly something that they're willing to grasp with both hands and engage with in an enthusiastic manner. We have to be, and we've learned to be, far more creative in our approach to education in prisons, because, like I mentioned earlier, many people coming into prison, prison is effectively the last chance saloon for many. And then these are individuals that have failed or been failed by a whole range of institutions and interventions prior to coming to prison. And only sometimes when they reach prison is there an opportunity to then engage with them in a positive and creative way. However, that often takes time as well, because individuals coming into prison, you know, often have to get stabilised. Very often there's health issues, addictions issues, you know, relationship issues. And once those issues are stabilised, then perhaps, you know, the individuals can look towards engaging in learning and skills. Bearing in mind that it's not a mandatory process. So we have to be creative, and we have to demonstrate to individuals, you know, but, you know, the importance of education, and, you know, the benefits of education in terms of what it can do for them, how it can enable them to effectively change their lives and perhaps look at a different type of future, you know, free from offending. Because, like I said, the very remedial approach, which used to be quite dominant and still remains dominant south of the border and also across Europe, the correctional model tends to look at a very simplistic approach, you know, of basic skills and, you know, a kind of quick fix resolution, when we launched our national strategy for learning skills last year, the document is actually on the SPS website. When we launched that, we took a decision, and we were very much supported by the executive management group within SPS. You know, we took a decision that we would mirror the kind of philosophy that underpins the Scottish Prison Service organisational approach, which is very much the kind of asset-based, person-centred model, and trying to construct learning along with other types of interventions around the needs and aspirations of the learner. So, in recent years, we have, I believe we have been very successful in that type of approach. So, really, the practical examples of that are effectively project theme learning. So what we have done over the last 5 or 6 years, or even longer, there has been a number of, like you mentioned earlier, there have been a number of arts initiatives. That has included the visual arts, it's also included drama, it's included music, and occasionally for young people, it's occasionally involved a bit of the dance. Now, what we've tried to do with this type of creative approach is to provide opportunities where people can engage in discussions and forums and in looking at particular issues. So, for example, in the last few years, we've had kind of major changes in Scottish life. We've had major issues in terms of the kind of political landscape, and we've tried to harness those issues. You know, for example, the referendum, the general election, Brexit, you know, also other activities such as like the Commonwealth Games. You know, these are all these kind of national events, all the kind of the various types of activities that get national media coverage. We're trying to use these because these are effectively for, like, you know, prisoners, like a lot of people, the population in general. These are issues that they discuss, they talk about, they've got, you know, they have fairly strong views on, and it's and we see this as an opportunity, you know, to harness that interest and to try and engage these individuals in the appropriate discussions and educational activities where we can also challenge their views on other issues, you know, whether they be, you know, potentially controversial issues. But effectively what we're trying to do is we're trying to use education in a critical sense. You know, we're trying to, not just critical literacy, but, you know, but looking at the world in a critical sense, challenging people appropriately, challenging their worldview. And we know, you know, we know from our experience that the arts is fundamentally critical to that process. We also know that the arts is excellent for engaging individuals who have been disaffected, because very often education, when it's presented to individuals, you know, it can be quite daunting for them if they've had previously poor experiences, you know, if they have failed or believe that there have been failures in the past, then it's not something that they readily want to embrace within prison. As you can imagine, within prison as well, people will want to be discreet. They'll want to be protective of their own levels of skills and abilities. So they may not want to engage in something that perhaps highlights what they would perceive to be as educational defects, you know, or they're not very good at reading and writing in general. So what we know from our experience is that the arts fundamentally embrace the, allow the individual to engage in a creative way, you know, whether that be through a piece of drama or whether it be through a piece of music or whatever it is. And it raises their esteem, it raises their confidence in such a way that they can then perhaps look at something that's a wee bit more challenging and give them that confidence then to go to and attend a learning centre, whereas previously, you know, they had thought, well, this is not for the likes of me. So there's a whole range of approaches. Recently, our education providers, which are effectively two further education colleges, have won a huge number of awards in terms of their approach. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Kessler Awards. The Kessler Awards are kind of UK awards for prison-based art and a whole range of prison-based arts. And Scottish prisons have, you know, been disproportionately successful in Kessler Awards over the past couple of years. I think one of our prisons, Lomas Prison, last year, and Shorts Prison, the last 2 years have won more awards than any other UK prison. You know, so there's a lot of creativity in prisons. There's a lot of latent talent. And I think, you know, essentially one of the job of education in prisons is to try and tap into that talent and to try and convince individuals that they do have talent, you know, that they do have self-worth and that they can effectively change their life and they don't need to go back to a life of, you know, perpetual reoffending. And you know, bowling in and out of prison, you know, with all its inherent consequences, etc.
And I would imagine then, Jim, that partnerships are key, and one would imagine that there needs to be strong links with Education Scotland in a kind of more formal sense, but which kind of arts organisations or other charities, third sector organisations, have been working closely with SPS with respect to actually interfacing and working in the learning environments with prisoners?
We have a number of partnerships. You know, partnerships tend to come and go very often, and very often that's subject to the availability of external funding for arts organisations, and I know that's been an issue for them. But we have developed relationships over the years with a number of organisations, including the Conservatoire, the Royal Conservatoire for Scotland, the Citizens Theatre Nemo. You know, quite a number. There's actually now a collective organisation called the Scottish Prisons Arts Network. You know, that's kind of the third sector charitable organisation which provides a sort of umbrella group for the arts agencies working within Scottish prisons. The colleges that we work with also have a arts provision, and you know the colleges over the past number of years, actually Fife College and New College Lanarkshire, you know, have developed a number of very successful arts approaches with external providers, and that differs in terms of its scope, its intensity, in terms of the type of activity that has been delivered. So very often there is, for example, there's the drama, but there could also be other types of creative activities in terms of working with specific population groups for a particular purpose. So, yes, we also have partnerships with Education Scotland and with a number of Scottish universities, and these are emerging partnerships where we're seeing not so much, well, a general approach in the arts, the arts and humanities, but also in terms of the STEM agenda, you know, science, technology, engineering and maths. We have recently developed a partnership with St Andrews University where we've been trialling some very innovative work with prisoners around the STEM agenda, and that has been, you know, very much looking creatively at science and how relevant science is, and obviously that transfers across to individual health, you know, and using the context of science and experiments, it has been very engaging for prisoners. We've also been undertaking work with the University of Glasgow in developing or helping to further develop the number of prisoners that we have who are doing higher education. So as you know, some people are with us for, you know, quite a length of time, and they can progress, you know, even from a very elementary level of education, they can progress through and undertake a degree in various subjects through a partnership with the Open University of Scotland. Glasgow University and Napier Universities have helped assist us with that process in terms of the postgraduate students working as peer tutors, and also some of their doctoral students also working to support reading groups to develop philosophical inquiry and to help individuals manage the challenges of higher education towards a degree award. So there's a number of things that we're doing in different prisons with different population groups, you know, to try and ensure that those who have the ability and the aspiration to undertake higher education can do so in a supportive environment. And then likewise, you know, those who, you know, have more literacy challenges, you know, we also have small group work, we have one-to-one support, we have very often the kind of project team learning, which the benefits of the project team learning is that literacy and numeracy obviously is embedded within the fabric of the course. The course can be delivered across a number of levels. So as you can imagine, in a prison we don't have a class who have generally the same levels of ability. We can have a class with a university professor on one end of the spectrum and someone with a learning difficulty at the other and everything in between. So the project theme learning, you know, enables us to harness a particular theme or subject and at the same time allow people to work on that subject or that theme, you know, at different levels. And what we would generally do, we run that for maybe 8 or 10 weeks, and then we would have the launch where there's associated work, whether it be creative activity, you know, it could be artwork, it could be poetry, it could be some forms of creative writing, and we'll perhaps do an exhibition. For example, some of the recent projects have been things like National Holocaust Day, or we've had National Women's Day, you know, that has tapped into themes of domestic violence and, you know, the consequences of that. A lot of these projects have enabled individuals to see perspectives that they would not otherwise have seen. You know, they're very often challenged by their peers. You know, they're challenged by the teaching staff, and they're also challenged by the SPS staff. So we try to involve the SPS staff, and we try to involve as wide a proportion of the prison population as possible in these projects. But one of the biggest challenges that they have going forward is actual levels of engagement. You know, because as I said earlier, education in prisons is not mandatory for short-term prisoners who are in and out of, you know, serving sentences of a few months or less. It's difficult, you know, to we have to wait until they're stable. By the time you get them engaged, you know, they're very much back out again. We then have different challenges for those who are with us for a longer period of time, you know, who go through a higher education course. And then we will try to utilise those skills in the capacity of peer tutors, you know, to enable them to assist individuals who are perhaps just coming into custody for the first time and who need that level of support, or indeed to act in the capacity as kind of champions for education to help promote and encourage people to engage.
Just finally, Jim, I'd be interested to hear about what your own sort of priorities are then in your post. You know, you've talked about trying to raise levels of engagement. Is that something that's a kind of burning issue with yourself on a kind of day-to-day basis? And you know, what else are you working towards improving or changing in the coming years?
Well, levels of engagement in prison education have been increasing of late. And, you know, one of the reasons for that has been actually the project team learning and the support of the executive management group within the Scottish Prison Service to promote what we term purposeful activity. You know, over the past couple of years, there has been quite a major in-house project within Scottish Prisons, looking at purposeful activity and promoting purposeful activity. And essentially, as the name suggests, it's trying to ensure that prisoners, when they're in custody, are using their time to engage in activities, a whole range of activities that will benefit them in terms of their future, and also in terms of their time in custody. So rather, than spending their time idly, it's about ensuring that they're engaging appropriately with rehabilitation programs to address drug and alcohol misuse, to develop family relationships, very often things like parenting skills. We have a whole range of SPS staff who are trained in developing life skills. Very often adults come into prison who lack very rudimentary life skills, whether that be just filling out forms or, managing a rental property or engaging appropriately with individuals or with external agencies. There's a whole range of looking after themselves in terms of cooking or, and basic hygiene. There's a whole range of problems for individuals. So the whole purposeful activity agenda seeks to provide those life skills, and at the same time, sentenced prisoners are required to work. So, they will undertake work in particular functions within the prison. That could be in the catering, it could be the laundry, it could be the cleaning parties. There's a whole range. There's also a wide range of vocational training that's available to them. So individuals who perhaps aspire to become self-employed, they can learn some of the kind of rudimentary skills in terms of joinery or bricklaying. There's vocational training, and there's also workshops. Very often there's productive workshops for those who are going to be in prison for quite a long time. They can undertake work in the production workshops, making products for the markets. So there's a whole range of things. We also have prison libraries. We also have a whole range of third sector agencies who come into prisons and engage with prisoners around a whole raft of issues to help them on their release from prison, to help them reintegrate and to become hopefully more productive citizens on their return to the communities. Because ultimately, prisoners will be returning to the community, and we see it as our responsibility to try as much as we possibly can to ensure that when they come out, that perhaps their whole worldview has kind of changed in terms of it's how people want to aspire to behave or to engage with their communities and to look very much at active citizenship. And these are the type of things that we try to teach through, for example, the kind of critical literacy and education. It's looking at exploring how individuals ended up in the situations that they have ended up. It looks at their communities, it looks about the historic evolution of our communities, it looks at citizenship, it looks at power structures within communities, it looks at the political process, so it very much tries to engage individuals in a very kind of productive way so that they can perhaps see what they can do both individually and collectively through appropriate agency, perhaps getting involved with their communities on return from prison, to make things better, to continue to work as perhaps starting off work as volunteers within their communities. And we've had lots of good examples of that in terms of individuals engaging with their communities going back out to prison. But there is still far too many people coming back into prison on short-term prison. So it is ongoing work. But I believe that in Scotland, we have very much adopted a policy perspective that does address the individual, addresses them in terms of what their aspirations are, how we can meet their aspirations, and it's in a very creative, as opposed to a very kind of didactic methodology of educational engagement. And it's I think it is now we're beginning to see the fruits of that in terms of, for example, Scottish Prison Services recently been asked to lead on a national, an international review of prison education policy through one of the European umbrella organisations. So these are the things. This is the kind of influence that we're having, I believe, in Scotland because of the approach we're having, because of the success that we're generating, both in terms of the engagement, in terms of the creativity, in terms of the innovation of the approach. You know, this is beginning to attract the interest of external agencies, you know, and jurisdictions across Europe. You know, that they're seeing what's happening here, and it's very much attracting their interest. And as, like I said, we've been asked to lead a review on education policy across Europe over the next couple of years. So I think that is, you know, very much welcome. And, you know, I think it certainly helps confirm to us also that we are moving in the right direction in terms of our approach to education.
Jim, thank you so much for taking time out from your holiday. In fact, to join us on EduTalk today, it's been a fascinating insight into many aspects of what goes on within the Scottish Prison Service and its various parts of the estate. Thank you so much for giving us that insight, and I wish you and your colleagues well in the future.